I believe the most successful people.
我相信最成功的人有着一个特点，这个特点就是适应能力，一种能够忍耐承受很长时间的能力。那些能够忍耐最长时间的人是最成功的。欢迎收听《硅谷早知道》，我是徐涛，您在硅谷的特派记者，在第一线为您带来趋势，帮您发现未来。刚才您听到的声音是来自 Jensen 黄仁勋，英伟达 NVIDIA 的创始人和 CEO。 他现在的位置非常非常的独特，毕竟十多年前谁能够想到一家专注于游戏芯片的公司会成为推动人工智能发展的引擎，并且把芯片行业的格局搅得天翻地覆呢？我是在英伟达开发者大会上和黄仁勋做的这次独家访谈。在这次访谈中，他聊了不少对人工智能行业方面的看法。当然，作为在硅谷拼搏多年的成功创业者和一个非常非常有个性的硅谷业界领袖，他也给了大家一些关于成功以及人生的建议。
Yeah, there are some discussion.
现在有一些关于 AI 的探讨，例如 Elon Musk 说 AI 对整个人类文明都是一种威胁，但可能吴恩达教授或者 Yang LeCun 教授并不同意，所以你的观点是什么？
I think they're all right.
我想他们都是对的，而原因是我相信 AI 是这个世界上我们所知的最强大的一种科技。它当然是运行在计算机上的，但是要比计算机此前做过的任何事情都要强大得多。所以只要是强大的科技，就需要用一种智慧和慎重的方式来进行演进和使用。对于因特网，我们也需要用一种慎重的方式来使用。对化学品，我们也需要用一种慎重的方式来使用，因为化学品可以制作成为化学武器。我们也需要用一种慎重的方式来使用核燃料，核燃料同时也是核炸弹的原料。我们也需要很审慎地去使用互联网，因为恐怖分子会用互联网的工具去彼此通讯。所以所有创造出来的技术都需要用一种有智慧的慎重的方式去对待，而这种方式是通过公开的讨论获得的，需要思维开明的人来进行公开的探讨，讨论其中的危险、技术本身的力量以及可能带来的福利。所以我觉得这些讨论是很好的，进行对话是一种非常好的解药。第二个方面是，任何强大的力量必须能够让每个人都获得，这就是为什么我们要让 AI 来民主化，让每个公司、每个国家、每个学生、每个研究者都利用这种的力量。说到短期内，接下来十多年 AI 并不会一夜之间成为一种超能力，甚至在更长时间内都是如此。 AI 会是在特定领域、特定功能以特定的方式去演化，比方说会有开车的 AI 出现，但它不知道如何去洗盘子，会有 AI 知道如何改进我们的洗碗机，但是不知道如何给我们的地板吸尘，会有 AI 能够为地板吸尘，但是不知道如何帮助我们阅读邮件。因为有这样的分门别类的人工智能，所以他们会成为很多术业有专攻的 AI， 而所有这些术业有专攻的 AI 会让我们变得效率更高。所以在接下来的数十年，我相信 AI 会给我们带来人类历史上最大的效率提升革命，而我们现在能做的所有的事情都会被自动化。
AI is the automation。
AI 其实是对自动化的自动化，上一次工业革命是对机械力量的自动化，而在之前的工业革命是将种植粮食的农业自动化，而这一次是将自动化给自动化。将自动化给自动化就是说，我们可以制造出 AI， 而 AI 自己去执行很多东西，这会带来很多超乎想象的好处。所以我觉得双方都是很正确的，但是我们要有一种对话，就是那种健康的观点彼此冲突的，越冲突越好的那种对话，这样我们就能够发现未来的变数在哪儿，问题在哪儿。另外一方面，我也觉得我们应该尽快地使用它，因为我们可以增加效率，帮助人们改善生活。所以在接下来半年到一年中，你希望看到人工智能领域发生什么样的变化？ 两件事情。我想要看到研究人员能够接着往前推动科技前沿。我们已经从卷积深度神经网络发展到了时间递归神经网络，有 TensorFlow 版本的递归神经网络 LSTM， 或者另外一种版本 Gate Recurrent Units。我们现在也有增强策略网络 Reinforcement Learning， 这个后来发展出了有突破性的 AlphaGo。这个领域还有各种各样关于语言识别的突破，例如百度的 Deep Speech 已经达到了超越人的水平。在神经网络上还有其他的一些突破，例如生成对抗性网络，在这个领域正有一些非常有趣的突破，例如风格迁移和图片增强。谁知道接下来还会发生一些什么呢？在不远的将来，我们会看到，当迁移学习得以应用时，我们可以预训练网络，并且将之运用到两个或者更多的应用上。我们也会看到模仿网络，我们也会看到各种突破融合在一起。所以我想说的第一点就是，我觉得研究人员会推动最前沿的人工智能技术持续地向各种可能性推进。我想看到的第二点是关于我们的产品 VOTA 可能会产生的影响。我们为 VOTA 制造的新性能能够允许我们将过去数年间开发的网络拿出来，并且将之投入生产。因为今天这些高度规模化的数据中心使用的 AI 依然非常的少。我们知道从搜索到图片识别到语言识别再到自然语言翻译，所有关于人工智能和深度学习我们都还有很多事情可以做。所以第二点我要说的是，任何一个高度大规模的互联网服务提供商都会将人工智能应用到他们的数据中心去。所以出于这一点，我们这次也介绍了另外一个 VOTA 的新功能，就是 VOTA 在 inferencing， 也就是推理方面的表现，和我们过去的产品相比增加了50倍。 VOTA 的 inferencing 能力跟 Pascal 相比是30到50倍那么多，这是一个超级大的提升。这对于互联网服务提供商的好处就是它能够用非常节省成本的方式将 AI 的能力应用到整个数据中心。否则如果没有这样的加速器，一个 VOTA 他们得需要用400到500个 CPU 来替代，所以这在成本节约方面也是我想要看到的。所以你们是用什么样的研发方式来确保自己能够为未来做好准备的呢？英伟达在创新和发明上有着很深的历史和很深的文化，这是我们的一部分特质。我们喜欢尝试新东西，我们喜欢去做那些之前没有做过的那些事情，我们也喜欢那些特别难做的事情。只要这些事情是有突破性的，是在拓荒，能够对这个社会产生作用，这就是我们想要去尝试的事儿。所以我们会去探索各种不同的领域，从虚拟现实到人工智能，再到机器人、无人车，我们一直在这些领域的前沿做出推动。在收购上是否有什么计划？我们一直在看是否有收购的机会。我们有一整个生态系统，里面有各种各样的合作伙伴，他们都建立在我们的 CUDA 计算架构上。在 CUDA 平台上，全世界有着50万个开发者，而且 CUDA 已经被下载了上百万次。这些开发者可能是在为已经存在的公司进行软件开发，例如很多中国的了不起的公司，像百度、腾讯、阿里巴巴、科大讯飞等等，还有一些是在创建的新公司，例如中国的图森科技。在今年英伟达开发者大会 GTC 上，有1300个使用英伟达平台的创业公司，80家人工智能公司，50家虚拟现实公司，20家无人驾驶公司。所以我们是创建了一个平台，大公司小公司都在用，无论什么时候只要合理，我们就可以对这些公司进行投资。我们肯定会和他们合作，理由充分的话我们也会进行收购。但对于我们而言，更重要的是让这个世界变得更加丰富多彩，因此我们更加愿意去建立平台，让别的公司可以受益和成长。 我知道现在在 AI 领域 NVIDIA 是在一个非常有利的位置，但对于你们而言最大的挑战是什么？我们现在在 AI 领域的地位的确还不错，当然我们建立的计算平台也的确对 AI 社区非常有帮助。我们会非常努力的工作，让技术变得更好，这样 AI 社区可以依赖我们去做更好的研究和开发。我们同样也得接着鞭策自己，让我们平台更加的先进，并能运用到最前沿的 AI 终端设备上。所以我们也宣布了 AI 终端人工计算设备 Jetson， 可以用在无人机、机器人、建筑物、厂房、商店等等。我们甚至开源了一些我们研发的关于 AI 处理的技术，所以我们非常努力的工作来让 AI 能更多的被接受使用。所以我觉得对于我们所有人而言，最大的挑战是在近期内让 AI 发展的足够繁盛，并且能够整合到世界各地的产品中去。我们得确保能去教世界各地的研究者和程序员如何去使用 AI。 所以我们开始了一个项目叫做深度学习学院 Deep Learning Institute。 在这个项目中，我们去教别的程序员如何去使用 AI， 如何使用深度学习，如何发展网络。所以我们一方面非常努力的工作去拓展我们的计算平台并放到世界各地去，同时也教开发者工程师们使用 AI， 将我们的技术授权，这样 AI 就能够运用到我们所触及不到的地方。这两方面放在一起就可以让 AI 成长得非常好，而且非常有用。
Keep AI growing nicely and healthily。
如果我们来说一下整个 AI 的产业，现在最大的挑战是什么呢？对于整个产业而言，现在最大的挑战是知识，就是如何理解这个技术。深度学习还非常的新，在这个世界上卓越的能够为深度学习做出贡献的工程师不超过10000吧。我们知道现在世界上有几百万的软件工程师，所以未来的某一天可能会有几百万的人工智能工程师，这就是未来。所以我们现在要成长，要继续投资和扩大关于深度学习方面的知识，我们需要持续拓展深度学习的能力，这就是整个行业正在面临的挑战。你也支持了李飞飞教授的 AI for All 的项目，可以讲讲这背后的故事吗？例如如何了解到这个项目的，以及为什么会愿意支持这个项目？我们公司的一个员工在帮助飞飞的实验室，在斯坦福暑期学校赞助和举行各种各样的活动。这个暑期学校是为那些愿意学习 AI 的女孩子举办的，坦白说，最后的效果超出我的想象。首先，这些女孩子非常非常的聪明，她们已经很有经验了，智商也很高，甚至超出了她们的年龄，这对我而言都让我印象深刻。第二，这帮我意识到了人工智能应该让每个人都从这种技术中受益。所以当菲菲和我聊到 AI for All 这个想法，以及聊到她如何喜欢给予年轻人指导，让年轻人们意识到 AI 的能力和潜力，以及如何将 AI 使用在不同领域，例如医学、药物、农业、艺术，或者运用到整个国家的时候，我感到非常的兴奋。我很激动能够成为第一个支持 AI for All 的人，当然之后也会有更多的资助者，因为这是一个很伟大的事业，而我会为之摇旗呐喊。
And I'm a huge fan of it。
聊一下中国吧，对于中国的公司而言，他们的劣势和优势是什么？中国的优势在于中国是一个封闭的互联网世界。中国的劣势和优势是同一个答案，那就是一个封闭的互联网世界。原因在于，一方面你在互联网上看到的所有机会在中国也都存在，所以对于中国公司而言，需要中国自己的搜索引擎公司、中国自己的在线视频公司、中国自己的社交网络公司，各种各样的公司。所以对中国的公司而言，他们有机会建立一个互联网，这个互联网和世界其他地方类似，但也和世界其他地方不同，这是一个相当大的机会，这是优势。另外一方面，如果一个社会能有能力去开放，从每个人身上去学习，每个人也都能彼此学习， 这种能力是很强有力的。
所
以只要中国公司一方面能够在中国得天独厚的条件下成长繁荣，另外一方面也能够向西方学习和西方分享，只要这一切发生，那对我们每个人都会是双赢的。所以我认为今天中国的互联网公司和 IT 公司是很成熟的，也和世界上别的地方的公司一样先进。而且坦白地说，这些中国的互联网服务商和应用程序可能要更加先进。中国人使用数字支付的要比在美国多，中国人用聊天软件保持联系啊，工作、支付都比西方世界要先进，所以我觉得这是非常了不起的。所以我想 AI 在中国发展非常的快，因为所有的 IT 公司大多都是互联网公司，而互联网公司在商业和策略上都有极大的兴趣来尽可能快地部署 AI， 所以中国的互联网公司和 IT 公司已经在部署 AI 发展 AI 了，我非常高兴地看到这一点。中国 AI 发展会超过硅谷吗？李开复最近接受采访的时候说，因为中国有更多的数据，更多的人才，中国政府也比美国政府更支持 AI 的使用，所以有可能会超越硅谷。您是怎么看的？在某种程度上，我不觉得这个很重要。中国更好或者不是更好，我并不觉得这个很重要，因为 AI 是用一种开放的方式在发展。你看，中国的公司在阅读大量的美国论文，现在在美国我们也需要去学一点中文，这样我们就可以阅读中文论文了。但我们需要彼此学习，这样人工智能就能对整个社会都带来益处。我们应该提高这种能力，开放，开放，再开放，这样才能将这种技术民主化，让每个人都受益。这本质上不是国家间的一种竞赛，公司之间的竞赛这是没有问题的，但不要变成国家本身的竞赛。我觉得为了人工智能能够发挥出其最好的作用，应该在一种开放的状态下成长。现在很有趣的一个话题是无人车，您觉得我们现在是在什么阶段，以及您觉得实现它，例如实现到第四阶段，还有多远？无人车辆或者无人驾驶会影响到一切会动的东西，不管是卡车、火车、飞机或轮船、运输车、货车、班车、小汽车、出租车，未来的一切，或者是摩托车、直升机，还有会飞的汽车，未来这些都会有一些自动驾驶的功能。而自动驾驶的功能程度是不同的，从辅助我们的驾驶，帮助我们飞行或者开车，到完全在无需我们驾驶的情况下就完成驾驶。这些不同程度自动驾驶的功能都需要非常大范围的人工智能计算。所以我想答案是，我们需要很长时间才能让一切会移动的东西都变成自动驾驶，也许这需要好几十年。但是我们立刻会在某些领域的某些产品具备自动驾驶的某些功能，所以我想这是一个旅程，不是一个一蹴而就的事情，这需要花时间。而最终整个无人驾驶产业或交通运输产业会是一个几万亿美元的大市场，不会说在某一天一下子就达到了完全的自动驾驶，这还需要很长时间。所以您觉得无人车会如何改变城市？天哪，对于无人车会带来的好处我超级激动。如果你的车是自动驾驶的，它可以自己慢慢地找一个停车位，因为它到时候可以自己过来载上你，所以这个停车位是可以停得很远的。因此在 Uber、滴滴或者公共交通这些选项之间，你就有了一个新的选项，就是汽车可以自己去停车了，这样现在停车库就可以变得很少，也更加远，未来的城市就不需要那么多车库了。这是一个很奇怪的现象，光是在美国就有 2.5 亿辆车，但是有8亿的停车位，这还不包括我们自己家里的停车位，所以美国很大一部分的土地都是停车位，而且这些停车位还没有在使用，这对于整个社会都是一种巨大的浪费，而且这种浪费还通常发生在最有价值的地产上， 所以我觉得无人车绝对会重塑我们未来城市的面貌，也会变得更加漂亮。所以关于未来，你们公司会有那种研发中心或者未来学家来研究未来是什么样子的吗？我们不需要。我觉得对于我们而言，最重要的事情是我们去投资和建立的是那种能力，那种好为世界上每一个汽车公司、每一个卡车和货车公司都带来自动驾驶的能力。所以我们相信，如果我们可以足够专注地为自动驾驶来建立底层的 AI 计算，别的事情都会自然而然地发生。我相信最重要的、最核心的一种力量就是我们提供自动化的能力。如果我专注于此，那我将能有尽可能大的影响力。我会问这个问题是因为 GPU 恰好对 AI 非常的有用，也许之前并没有人能够预见到这一点。我知道这对英伟达是一个非常巨大的机会。您会担心或者恐惧英伟达无法抓住下一个机会或者丢掉下一个机会吗？好吧，我猜想我们是没有办法知道未来会如何的。你知道这些问题我们现在不可能预见到，所以我想我们最好是保持警惕，不断的学习，一直保持开放的思维，保持灵活性总是好的。所以我们不是绝对的确定我们现在做的如何。如果我们太固执于现在我们的方向，我们就不能够学习新的事物了。所以谦逊的学习，然后别的事情就顺其自然吧。所以现在英伟达的成功仅仅是运气，还是你有什么秘诀？
There's plenty of luck and success.
是否成功通常和运气有关。这个世界上有很多成功的人，也有很多勤奋工作、很聪明、很有人脉或者很有钱的人。所以为什么是一些人成功了，而另外一些人没有呢？不可能仅仅是因为智商或者勤奋工作或者是因为钱的原因，所以你就知道了，你必须有一点运气。我不知道我的好运气是从哪儿来的，但是我很幸运我能够拥有一些好运气。但另外一点是，好运气的来源来自于你身边的人。在英伟达工作的这些员工，我的管理团队，我非常非常幸运他们能够在我这里工作，这是一种很大的幸运。因为他们其实可以在任何地方工作，即使过一条马路都有公司想要花更多的钱来雇佣他们，所以我很幸运他们能够和我共事这么久。如果可以给出一些建议和忠告给他人，你会给什么建议呢？
Well, there's all kinds of advice that people give.
人们已经给出了各种各样的建议，一些人说你要对你做的事情充满热情，一些人说要保持专注，一些人说要建立起强大的人脉，这些都是很好的建议。或者另外一些建议说你要努力工作，做你热爱的，所有这些建议都很对。我想这些都是对我们幸福至关重要的东西。但我猜对我而言，帮助最大的永远是有好奇心，保持谦逊，从你身边的人那里去学习。而且我相信最成功的人有一个特点，这个特点就是适应能力，一种能够忍耐承受很长时间的能力。那些能够忍耐最长时间的人是最成功的。所以对于您而言，忍耐了很多吗？
Suffering is not a bad word to me.
忍耐不是一个坏词语。忍耐对于我而言就是努力工作，每天都失败，每天都失败，但仍然努力的工作，再失败，再工作。所以简单说就是每天都失败。
Failing every day.
所以什么算是每天都失败？
It's not great. It's embarrassing.
很不怎么样，很让人尴尬。但这对成功至关重要。如果你不去尝试，不去冒险，不去尝试新的东西，不做好失败的准备，没有勇气和耐力不断地去尝试、尝试、再尝试，没有这种抗压的能力，你是不可能成功的，因为别人一样聪明，一样勤奋工作，特别是在硅谷。对，这个世界上有很多聪明人，每个年轻人，每个从大学毕业的年轻人都比我们当初要聪明，他们也都雄心壮志，他们也都可以拿到融资。硅谷有很多钱，中国也有很多钱，拿到资本其实很容易，不是一个问题。所以是什么将伟大的人和伟大的公司以及别人和别的公司区分开来呢？在我看来，就是要有抗压的文化， 有着敢于失败的能力，不放弃，相信自己，接着向前是很重要的。在硅谷，很多 CEO 或者创始人都有自己的爱好或者本职工作之外的项目，例如 Elon Musk 有 The Boring Company。 那您呢，是否有别的项目在做？
I have no side projects.
我没有本职工作之外的项目，英伟达是我唯一的工作，所以把你的所有时间和精力都贡献给了英伟达，还有家人，都给了我的家人和英伟达。好，今天的节目就到这里，我是徐涛，您在硅谷的特派记者，欢迎留言或在读者群中进行讨论，也欢迎推荐给您身边的朋友。作为订阅用户，每篇文章您都有10个邀请朋友免费阅读和收听的名额。请期待我们下次的节目，在下次节目中会有硅谷老牌投资机构 Greylock 的驻场企业家来和我们聊一聊硅谷风投中 EIR， 也就是驻场企业家项目。我们下次再见。欢迎收听硅谷早知道，我是徐涛，您在硅谷的特派记者，在第一线为您带来趋势，帮您发现未来。上一期节目播出后，很多人说想要听我对 NVIDIA 创始人和 CEO 黄仁勋专访时的英文原声，所以这次我将英文原声也放送出来，希望对大家能够有帮助。What's the impact of Voda you want to see on AI industry?
Yeah, one of the biggest challenge for artificial intelligence today is the complexity of the deep neural networks are takes a great deal of computation to train. And the amount of time that it takes to train these networks is growing because the sophistication of the networks is also growing, and it's growing very fast. It's growing by factors of 10 every year. And so these networks require...faster and faster computers. And what we created Volta to do is to enable leading edge researchers and cloud providers to be able to develop the state of the art deep learning networks as quickly as possible. These researchers are busy. There are very few data scientists in the world. There are very few data scientists that know deep learning. And so their productivity is vital to the companies that they work at.And so our goal with Volta is to enable them to be much more productive. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, we created the Volta Tesla V100. It's the most advanced processor the world's ever made. It's got 21 billion transistors made from TSMC's 12 nanometer FinFET that's been optimized for NVIDIA. It uses Samsung's HBM2, the fastest memories in the world. And it's all integrated into a three-dimensional package. This is the most...single most advanced processor, the most ambitious endeavor of computing that has ever been undertaken. And so we introduced yesterday the Volta processor. It's called the Tesla V100. And it's just a giant leap from Pascal. And we introduced brand new instructions. And one of the instructions is called TensorOp. Mm-hmm. It is a brand new instruction that has been designed for deep learning. And so now we can process matrices and deep learning instructions 6 to 12 times faster than what we were able to do with Pascal, which was already the fastest in the world. Mm. And so it tells you something about how hard we're investing so that deep learning researchers can be more productive.
Mm. So what kind of change you want to see in the whole AI industry in the next half or 1 year?
Two things.I would like to see researchers continue to push the edge. You know, we came from convolutional neural networks to recurrent neural networks with versions like LSTM and gated recurrent units, and we worked on reinforcement learning, and that led to the breakthroughs of AlphaGo, and then there's all kinds of speech recognition software breakthroughs like Baidu's Deep Speech, mm-hmm. that has now achieved superhuman levels, And then you have breakthroughs in new networks like adversarial networks, the GAN work that was done that has now led to all kinds of interesting breakthroughs in style transfers and image enhancement and who knows what's going to come. And in the near future, we're going to see transfer learning applied so that we could pre-train networks and apply them to more applications. And we're going to see imitation networks and We're going to see all kinds of breakthroughs that are going to be the combination of these networks, composing these networks together. And so the first thing I want to see is I would love to see researchers continue to push the bleeding edge of artificial intelligence and keep pushing into what's possible. And the second thing I'd like to see, and it's something new that we created for Volta, which is to allow to now take these networks that we've been developing over the last several years and use them in production. Because these hyperscale data centers today still use very little artificial intelligence. And yet we know that from search to image recognition to voice speech recognition to natural language translation and understanding, there's so many different things that we could do in deep learning and artificial intelligence. So the second thing I would like to see is every single hyperscaler and every single internet service provider deploy and utilize artificial intelligence in their data centers. And so to that end, we introduced the second major feature in Volta, which is inferencing.
Mm-hmm.
Inferencing performance of Volta compared to our previous generation increased by probably about 50 times. You know, Volta's inferencing capability compared to Pascal, you know, is somewhere from 30 to 50 times. And it's a huge, huge step up. And the benefit to the internet service providers is the ability to deliver AI capability to their entire data center and to do it cost effectively. Because otherwise, without something like an accelerator like Volta, they would need 400 or 500 CPUs per Volta that they replace. And so I think that's a great cost savings I would love to see.
Mm-hmm. Talking about R&D, so what's NVIDIA or your way or methodology to foresee the future or prepare for the future?
Well, NVIDIA has a deep history and a deep culture of innovation and invention. That's part of who we are. We love to try things that are new. We love to do things that are never been done before. We like to do things that are incredibly hard to do. So long as these things are groundbreaking, pioneering, and can make an impact to society, it's something that we love trying. And so the company has an inventive culture, it's a risk-taking culture, and so mm-hmm. so we explore all kinds of areas from virtual reality to artificial intelligence to robotics to self-driving cars. We're pushing the boundaries on all of these different fronts.
So how about the plan on acquisition?
Well, we look at acquisitions all the time. We have an ecosystem of partners that are built on top of our computing architecture called CUDA.
Mm-hmm.
And CUDA has thousands and thousands of developers. There are 500,000 CUDA developers in the world. CUDA has been downloaded over a million times into computers. And these developers are either developing software for their existing company,
mm-hmm.
like many of the great companies in China, like Baidu and Tencent and Alibaba, iFlytek and others, or they're starting new companies. And for example, TuSimple in China, many great companies all over the world. And here at GTC this year, we reported that there are 1,300 startup companies that are built using NVIDIA's platform.
Mm.
And 80 of them are 80 artificial intelligence companies are here, 25 VR companies are here. There's some 20 self-driving car companies here. And so we create a platform for companies large and small.
Mm.
And whenever it makes sense, we might make an investment in the company.
Mm-hmm.
We surely partner with them, and if it makes sense, we'll make an acquisition. But the most important way for us to enrich the world is really to create a platform by which many other companies can benefit from and grow from.
NVIDIA is in the leading place in the race for AI, but what's the biggest challenge for NVIDIA now?
Our position in AI is very good, and of course, the computing platform that we've created has been helpful to the AI community, and we're going to continue to work hard to advance it so that the AI community can rely on us to do their research and do their development. We also want to make sure that we continue to advance and push ourselves to advance the platforms for deployment for AI at the edge. And so recently we announced that we have AI at the edge computing device called Jetson for drones and robots and buildings and warehouses and stores and things like that. All the AI capability that's going to be around the world to even open sourcing some of the technology that we've invented for AI processing. And so we're working hard to continue to expand the adoption of AI. Mm. And so I think the greatest challenge for all of us is to make sure that AI in the near term has the opportunity to flourish and be integrated into computer products all over the world. We have to make sure that we teach researchers around the world or engineers around the world how to use AI. So we started a program called the Deep Learning Institute, mm-hmm. where we teach other engineers how to use AI, mm-hmm. and how to use deep learning and how to develop networks. And so I think between the combination of working hard to expand the reach of our computing platform and putting it everywhere, teaching developers and engineers how to use AI, and licensing our technologies where it makes sense so that AI can go places where we would not go ourselves. Mm-hmm. The combination of all of that, I think, is going to keep AI growing nicely and healthily.
So if talking about the whole AI industry, what's the biggest challenge for that, for the whole industry?
Well, the whole industry at the moment, the challenge is really knowledge. You know, the
knowledge,
understanding of the technology. Mm-hmm. You know, deep learning is still rather new. And there can't be much more than 10,000 great engineers around the world who are producing and making contributions in deep learning. Mm-hmm. And yet we know that there are several million software engineers around the world. And so somewhere between 10,000 and someday millions of engineers, that's our future.
Oh, right? Yes.
And so we have to grow. We have to continue to invest in expanding the knowledge of deep learning. We have to continue to expand the capability of deep learning. Mm-hmm. And those are the challenges that we're faced with today.
Yeah, there are some discussion about AI, like Elon Musk said, AI poses a great threat to the whole humanity. But maybe Professor Andrew Wu and Yang LeCun, they don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. So how about you?
I think they're all right. And the reason for that is this. I believe that AI is the most powerful technology that the world has ever known. Mm-hmm. It's much, much more powerful than it's enabled by computers, but it's much more powerful than anything computers have ever done before. And so with every powerful technology, it needs to evolve and it needs to be used in a wise and thoughtful way. We have to use the internet in a thoughtful way. We have to use chemistry in a thoughtful way. For example, chemistry is the source of chemical weapons. Mm-hmm. We have to use nuclear energy in a thoughtful way. Nuclear energy is the source of nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
We have to use networking technology in a thoughtful way. It is the way that terrorists use to communicate among themselves. Mm-hmm. And so every technology that is created has to have thoughtfulness and wisdom. And the way that it happens is through public debate. Mm. Through public discussion, through open-minded people discussing the danger as well as the power and the benefits in an open way. Mm. And so I think that it is good to talk about it. Mm-hmm. The dialogue is the most important cure. The second thing is any power that is of great capability must be available to everyone. So that's why we have to democratize AI. Every company, every country, every student, every researcher should have the power to access this incredible power. Mm. And so democratizing this technology is very important. Mm-hmm. Now in terms of the near term, AI is not going to become this superpower overnight. For the next decade, maybe more, AI will evolve in a domain-specific, function-specific way. There will be an AI that knows how to drive a car but doesn't know how to do dishes. There'll be an AI that knows how to improve our dishwasher but does not know how to vacuum the floor. There's an AI that's vacuuming the floor but doesn't know how to help us read our emails and sort through that. Mm-hmm. And so there are going to be a whole lot of domain-specific AIs. And all of these domain-specific AIs are going to make us more productive. And so in the near, over the next decade, I believe that AI will bring upon us the greatest revolution of productivity improvement in the history of humanity.
Mm.
Everything we do can now be automated. AI is the automation of automation.
Mm. Yes.
Whereas the last industrial revolution was about the automation of power, mechanical power. And the previous industrial revolution was the automation of food growing, farming. This one is the automation of automation. And the automation of automation basically says we can create AIs that can create AIs that automate everything. And so unbelievable benefits.
Yeah.
And so I think both sides are absolutely right that we have to have healthy dialogue mm-hmm. with as much tension as possible, as much disagreement as possible, so we could discover where all of the variables are, where all the issues are. And on the other hand, I believe that we should use it as quickly as possible because we can increase productivity and help people's lives.
Mm-hmm. I know you also supported the project AI for All, that is Li Feifei's project. So could you tell me the story behind it? How did mm-hmm. you know the project mm-hmm. and why you decided to support that?
Mm-hmm. One of our employees at the company was helping Feifei's lab sponsor an event and host an event at Stanford for summer school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a summer school program for young girls to learn how to do AI, learn how to use AI. And the results were quite frankly, incredible. Because first of all, these young girls were super, super smart. The fact that they were so sophisticated, so intelligent, and so advanced at their age was first of all, just very impressive to me anyways. Second, I think that it helped me realize that artificial intelligence should be about making computer technology easier for everyone to benefit from computers. And so when Feifei talked to me about this idea for AI for All and how she would like to educate more young people about the potential, the capability and how to use AI in different domains of work, whether it's in medicine or farming or art or whatever it is, all over the country. I was super excited by it, mm-hmm. And so I was thrilled to be the first contributor to AI for All, and there will be many other contributors because it's such a great cause. And I'm a huge fan of it.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little about China. For the Chinese company, what's their advantages and mm-hmm. what's the disadvantage?
Mm-hmm. Well, China's advantage is that China is an isolated internet world. China's disadvantage and advantage is the same answer. It's an isolated internet world.
But why?
Well, the reason for that is on the one hand, all of the opportunities that you see on the internet today, the same opportunities exist in China.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the Chinese companies, there needs to be a Chinese search company, there needs to be a Chinese online video company, there needs to be a Chinese social company, there needs to be a Chinese everything company. And so for the Chinese companies, there's an opportunity to create an internet that is like the rest of the world, but different than the rest of the world as well. And so that's a great opportunity. That's mm-hmm. a strength. On the other hand, the ability for society to be open and learn from everybody and each other is a very powerful thing. And so long as the Chinese companies can, on the one hand, flourish under the extraordinary opportunities that Chinese country have. Meanwhile, learning from the West and sharing with the West, so long as that's happening, then it's a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think today the Chinese internet companies and the Chinese IT companies are as sophisticated and as advanced as any computer company on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, all of the internet services and applications are in China. If anything, it's more advanced. More Chinese people use digital payments than here in the United States. And the way that Chinese people use the internet to chat, stay in touch, work, make payments, play, arguably is way more advanced than even anywhere in the West. And so I think it's really fantastic to see. And
mm-hmm.
and I think AI in China is moving so fast, because all of the IT companies are largely internet companies, and the internet companies has a greater interest in business and in strategy to adopt AI as quickly as possible. And so the Chinese internet companies and IT companies have been fast to adopt AI and fast to advance AI, and it's great for me to see. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Will it be like more advanced than in Silicon Valley? Because Li Kaifu just said because Chinese company has more data, more talents. So what do you think?
Well, at some level, I don't know that it matters.
That doesn't matter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why does it? No, I don't think it matters that China is better or not better. Because AI is being developed in the open. And as you know,
mm-hmm.
the Chinese companies are reading a lot of U.S. papers. And,
yes.
And all of us in the United States have to learn Chinese so that we can read some of the Chinese papers as well. But we should learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not artificial intelligence will benefit all of society. And we have to raise this capability in the open so that it could be democratized and benefit everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this should not be, it's not a contest per se between countries. It's fine that it's a contest per se between companies. But between countries, I think artificial intelligence, to the best of its ability, should be nurtured in open space.
One thing very interesting is autonomous car.
Mm.
So what do you think the stage we are, and how far away is maybe level 4?
Autonomous vehicles or autonomous mobility is going to affect everything that moves. And so whether it's a truck or a train or a plane or a ship or a delivery vehicle or a van or a shuttle or a car or a taxi, everything in the future, or a motorcycle or a helicopter or a flying car, everything in the future will have some autonomous capability inside.
Mm-hmm.
And autonomous capability will range all the way from augmenting our driving, helping our flying and driving, all the way to doing it completely for us, without us. And that range of autonomous capability requires a very large range of artificial intelligence computing. And so I think the answer is it will take a long time before everything that moves becomes autonomous.
Mm-hmm.
It will take a long time, maybe several decades. However, we will become autonomous in some capability, in some parts of the market, in some product and functionality almost immediately as it is. So I think this is a journey. This is not a moment in time.
Okay.
And so this is a journey that's going to take time. And ultimately, the automotive industry or the transportation industry is $10 trillion large. There is no day that it will become completely autonomous.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be a long time yet.
Just like we already have level 2, maybe level 3 cars on the road.
That's right.
So how would autonomous car change the city?
Well, goodness gracious, I'm so excited about the benefits of that. If your car was autonomous, it can slowly find parking away from where you are, because it can come and pick you up later, right? And so the parking lots can be much further away.
Mm-hmm.
So between Ubers and DDs and public transportation and cars that can park by themselves, then the parking structures can be fewer and further between. And so cities in the future would not have so much parking space allocated. Mm-hmm. It is so strange that in the United States alone, there are 250 million cars, but there are 800 million parking spaces, not including our homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the vast majority of United States land is really parking spaces, and it's not even being used.
Mm-hmm.
And what a terrible waste of society's land. And typically, it also happens to be where the most valuable property happens to be. And so it's unfortunate, and I think autonomous vehicles will really, really shape how future cities look, and it's going to be much more beautiful.
So, yeah. Do you have like some R&D centers or researchers are doing this kind of research to see what the 10 years later or 50 years later it will be like?
We don't have to. I think the most important thing is we have to invest in building. The capability for every single car company in the world and every single truck and every single van company in the world to be autonomous.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that if we focus on building that fundamental AI computer for autonomous driving and autonomous mobility, everything else will take care of itself.
Okay.
I believe that the most powerful central force is the ability to have autonomous capability. And if I focus on that, then I'll make the greatest impact possible.
Yeah, I ask that because GPU happened to be very useful to AI, and maybe nobody foresee that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a great opportunity to NVIDIA. Do you have some worry or feel that you cannot catch the next opportunity, or you will lose the next opportunities?
Well, I guess we'll never know. You know, these are questions that we'll never know. I guess it's good to stay alert.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to always want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to always have an open mind.
Okay.
And to have intellectual flexibility, so that we're not absolutely certain in our way. And if we're too stubborn in our way, then we cannot learn new things.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as we stay flexible and willing to learn and be humble to learn, mm-hmm. things will take care of itself.
So the opportunity NVIDIA now have, that is only a pure luck, or you already have your own secret sauce?
There's plenty of luck and success. There are plenty of luck and success. There are many successful people all over the world,
mm-hmm.
and there are many people who work very hard. There are many people who are very, very smart. There are many people who have a lot of connections, and there's a lot of money in the world. And so why some people succeed and some people don't can't possibly be completely based on intelligence and hard work and money.
Mm.
You know, it must have some amount of luck. And so I don't know where our luck comes from, but I'm fortunate about that. And the other thing is the greatest source of luck, is the people that are surrounding you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people that are working at NVIDIA and all the people that I have on my management team. I am incredibly fortunate to have them at our company. And that is great luck. That is great luck.
Yes.
Yeah, because they can go work anywhere else. In today's society, everybody else across the street is willing to pay more money.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very lucky for me that they've been with me for a very long time.
If you can give young people some advice, what kind of advice you would give?
Well, there's all kinds of advice that people give. I mean, there's some people that say be passionate about your work. There's some people that will tell you stay focused. There's some people that might suggest that build a strong network. Those are all good ideas. Those are all good ideas. And study hard and work hard and do what you love and. You know, do things with a passion. Those are all good ideas,
mm-hmm.
and they're all fine. But I know a lot of people who study hard, work hard, and I know a lot of people who have a large network, and I know a lot of people who are passionate about their work. And so I think that's all what I would characterize, what I would say as the essentials of happiness, you know, I guess for me, what helps me a great deal is always to have curiosity about everything. So I'm learning. Be humble to be willing to learn from people around you. And then lastly, I believe the most successful people have one single characteristic, and that one characteristic is resilience.
Mm.
The ability to suffer for a very long time. And the people who are able to suffer for the longest time are the most successful of all.
So for you, you also suffered a lot?
Suffering is not a bad word to me.
Uh-huh.
Suffering to me is working hard and failing every day. Working hard and failing every day. That's simply my word for failing every day. It's not great. It's embarrassing. But it's essential to success. If you don't try things and trying new things and be willing to fail and have the courage and the stamina to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying and keep trying because you enjoy it so much,
mm-hmm.
If you don't have that resilience, you cannot succeed. Because everybody else is equally smart, equally hardworking.
Yeah, especially in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, tons of smart people. Everybody who's young, everybody who's graduating from school today is smarter than we are. And they're smart, they're ambitious, they have all the money in the world. Silicon Valley has lots and lots of money. China has lots and lots of money. And so access to capital is simply not an issue. So what separates great people or what separates great companies from the other? And it's really... You know, in my opinion, a culture of resilience, the ability to fail and not give up, believe in themselves and keep on going.
Mm, a lot of founders or CEO in Silicon Valley have their hobbies or side project, like Elon Musk has the Boring Company. So how about you? Do you have any side project?
I have no side projects. This is my only project.
Only project.
Mm-hmm.
So devote all your time and energy in NVIDIA.
Family, NVIDIA. Back to family, NVIDIA. Back
okay,
to family.
Yeah, family, NVIDIA.
好，今天的节目就到这里。我是徐涛，您在硅谷的特派记者，带您把握趋势，发现未来。欢迎留言或在读者群中进行讨论，也欢迎推荐给您身边的朋友。作为订阅用户，每篇文章您有十个邀请朋友免费阅读和收听的名额。我们下次节目再见。